everyone.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome to the Squad Pod. Here's your host, my dad, Troy Dog.
Sunday. Prepare to get annihilated with an awesome opportunity. Featuring your favorite motocross brand, Verb Moto. Win a grand prize of a Yamaha Wolverine R-Max 2 1000 Sport. Two 2024 Yamaha TTR 110E motorcycles. And $20,000 cash. But wait, there's more. There's also additional weekly prizes. New merch, pocket-breaking prizes, our pockets, definitely not your pockets. The more you buy, the more points you earn. We're stacking points, baby. Come get them. Visit shopverb.com for more or dial 1-800-VERB-MOTO. That's not a real number. Don't call us, please. No purchase necessary. Rules and regulations apply. See shopverb.com for official rules.
All right, people. Welcome to another episode of the Squad Pod. I'm your host, Troy Dog, the editor-in-chief of verbmoto.com. All right, so my guest today is an Ohio legend. It's Levi Kilbarger. You might have known him from Honda Troy, Kilbarger Mods days. He had like a 10-year career, and it's pretty cool to see what he accomplished at the Triple Crown in Indy. All because his daughter called him a sissy. That's awesome. But before we get into that, let's talk about World Mini. World Mini's coming up. April 4th through 7th, we have some confirmed riders on the confirmed list. Jaden Smart, Grayson Townsend, Aiden and Chris Kiefer, Ryder Ellis, Tace Morgan. That's just a small taste of the list that we got cooking up right now. Also on the docket for World Mini, we're going to have Factory Contingency, MXGP format. And there's like, you can have like 60 minutes per class of track time. That's guaranteed. So we got it worked out so that everybody has a ton of track time. We're going to have Pro Purse too. And we're going to make it the biggest event on the West Coast, the biggest amateur race in the history of ever. So it's coming up really quickly. We're seeing confirmations. We're seeing people register now, and there's still time. So click the link on our website, and then you can race with us. It'll be a good time. We promise. We're not going to waste your time. It's going to be a really cool event. The World Mini Grand Prix is back. And be like Blake Wharton in 2007, when he pretty much raced everything from a 65 to a 450 and won a ton of titles. You can do that. Be like Blake Wharton. Race World Mini. Also, you need to shopverb.com right now. Drop what you're doing. Go to shopverb.com. Check out all of the 13 new shirts that we have circulating on there in different colorways. Just buy it all. Buy everything. Support it. These shirts are new, brand new. We revamped the whole store. And you're going to dig it. You can wear these shirts everywhere. The hats, you can wear them everywhere. And just support us. We appreciate it. Also, I need to make a mention that on May 18th and 19th, it's Verbadilla at Unadilla. It's part off-road, part motocross. It's part of the J-Day series. We're going to show up there. That's the next stop after World Mini of the Verbmoto Shred Tour. So, the events are in full send mode right now. Everything is clicking, and we are just ready to have a great, awesome year. So we appreciate the support, guys, and there's more coming from us, so stay tuned. And, man, what a busy week so far. It's already Wednesday. I feel like Ginger Dog and I just got back from Indy for the Supercross, you know? It was a good weekend. We got to see some familiar faces. But, man, the vibe was off. The vibe was not right. The wind was cold. Riders were either upset with their setup or the track, just not vibing with the soft conditions. And I mean, that's classic Indy, man. What do you want? But it was, everyone was either hiding, cold, are just not into it. So I did get to see quite a bit, though, which was good. Got to see some riders that stood out. Cody Shock is one of them. I just wrote a little piece on him this morning and how he's Ironman, because Mike Bonacci, the team manager of Club MX, put out the PR last week that said that Cody had surgery the Monday before Indy, and that he would be out to at least Foxborough, which is on April 13th. But then, as I'm entering the stadium at Lucas Oil, I'm in the pits, I look over and I see Cody's bike, and I'm like, okay, that's not weird at all. Like, injured riders have their bikes on display all the time, and he'll be back at the next round, so not that big a deal. So by the time I get upstairs, Ginger Dog shows me this thing that says, from Supercross, it says, Cody Shock is racing tonight. I was like, what? So we throw the news up, and then we head down. I want to get a closer look for practice and just scope out the line. So we went down and sat and went to watch practice. And there he is, lining up. First aid practice, Cody Shock. He can't be real. Like, I know plating your collarbone and then coming back to race, that's pretty normal. I've seen guys do it, right? But to race like he did, like, racing's different at the top level. And he pulled off fifth overall on the night. Pretty cool, man. Cody Shock. The winter of shock is upon us. I like the way that Cody Shock went about all this. Okay, so late in the off season, Phoenix Honda and he part ways. And then he moves to Club MX. Somehow gets the deal done. Like, they sign him to the team. And now look, he's been on a roll ever since. And I feel like he's got a lot of people he wants to prove wrong. He has a lot of big goals he wants to reach. And he's putting in the best season of his career so far. So I don't want to be that cliche guy that says Cinderella story, but this is as Cinderella story as it gets. It's pretty cool. Who else stood out? Cameron McAdoo. I need to have what Cameron McAdoo has right now. The way he carries himself, it's like he's a 50-year-old man. He's seen some stuff, and he's just in a good spot in his life. But he's a 26-year-old. So I'm trying to position myself in my life to get to this point where everything's cool and, man, I've seen some stuff and, oh, man, everything's great no matter what happens. I want that. And Cameron McAdoo has it. He's just living his life right now, loving riding his dirt bike. In the press conference, on the podium, he was just preaching it, man. And I dig it. I think it's cool. And I'm partly jealous because I want to get there myself. Maybe we can get Mac on here to talk about this and get me in the right headspace. We'll work on that. His teammate, Seth Hammaker, he stands out to me this year. Are we at a point where we just say, Seth, are you always in the wrong place at the wrong time? Or are you just more accident prone than we think? Because Indy was kind of rough for him again. He ended up on the ground a lot. He had a scary crash in the rhythm. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel, and he's on the podium too. Like, I don't know. He's just maybe figuring some stuff out, but Hammaker, man, he sends it. You got to respect it. Let's see. Justin Barcia. We're going to see Bam Bam come to life here in this last half of the season. From every practice session, he wanted to get out front early. When everyone else is chilling, getting ready for the flag to wave to go out to practice, they're just chilling, hands on their hips. Here's Barcia. His elbows are up. He's in attack position for a start to get out front early and put a lap in. That's how I know he's feeling good. And he was throwing it. He was throwing whips in practice, just feeling loose. We're going to see a different Bam Bam coming up. That's what stood out to me. And his friend, his buddy, Levi Kilbarger, who is an Ohio legend. That's my guest today, by the way, Levi Kilbarger. And then Justin Barsha's buddy, his old buddy, Levi Kilbarger, who is my guest today, an Ohio legend, District 11, I grew up, you know, going to the track and lining the fence for his A-class motos. Like, if Kilbarger showed up, it was a big deal. And it's even funnier now because I find out he's 34 years old and I'm 33. So, like, that says something about my racing career. Like, why wasn't I on the gate with him, progressing with him at my age level? But, yeah, just didn't have it, man. I don't know. Kilbarger was on another level. So, he shows up, Kilbarger does. Hasn't raced a Supercross in 8 years. Hasn't raced an Outdoor National in 5 years. He gets called a sissy by his daughter that he won't race. So he just shows up one day on a Supercross track and puts in a fast time through C practice, might I add, that is only 3 seconds off of Max Anstey, who held the red plate last week in Birmingham. How does that happen? I don't know. I don't know how it happens. I'm still kind of like, I had the conversation with him already, obviously, but I'm still trying to fathom all this. Old guys rule. They're just built different. And it's like you have all of this. It's like the McAdoo thing. You have all of this life that you've had. Like you don't forget how to ride a dirt bike. And as you get older in Supercross, you learn more stuff. And you put maybe he put that to the test of what he's known, what he's learned over the years. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But we're going to get into it. So stick around. We're going to ask every question we can think of to get the man who has his own job through the week. He just grinds out at a suspension shop. I'm sure it's more than 9 to 5. And he somehow just puts it, squeaks in the triple crown of Monster Energy Supercross. Levi Kilbarger, here he is, everybody. No, it's cool, man. I just wanted to get more in depth on your weekend. Pretty amazing stuff. So did you go into the weekend with any prep? Like, do you still ride a lot?
Yeah, I still ride quite a bit. I mean, I do pretty much all the local stuff around here, anything that pays good. And then like Plessinger has that Buckeye series and stuff, so I do a lot of those during the summer. And then we actually have a couple different indoor series that are decent now as far as like local stuff. So I mean, I don't know, you look at it like I still ride, but I legit had not been on a Supercross track in 7 years. I think it was 7 years. And I went to SSR last Wednesday just because I was like, dude, if I don't get on a Supercross track at least one day, I'm probably going to die. So I went over there, rode that one day, and then, dude, that was it. I just showed up.
Indoor series around here is a lot different than just indie Supercross on a Saturday night. So, when you went to SSR, did you feel comfortable right away? Did it take a couple laps? Kind of walk through.
I right at first, I was like scared. I went out, looked at the track first, right before I geared up, and I'm like looking at the triple, and I'm like, man, I don't know, like I don't know what I'm doing. And at that point, you're committed, right? Like, dude, I'd already. Like talk to people. My buddy Corey Mays was like, oh, I'll help you out with sign up. And like I had DH1 had done like a motor package for me in like 2 days, which I mean we couldn't really do much, so it kind of was what it was. But at that point anyway, I was committed. So I go out on the track, and dude, honestly, within two laps I felt decent. Not great, but decent. And I was like, okay, I can at least go make this happen. So up until that day, I had started to get nervous to the point that I was like, dude, I couldn't sleep at night. I'm like, this is going to be so bad, and I'm going to be so far out of my realm that I couldn't sleep at night. I was like, I was just freaked out.
So how old are you right now?
I'm 34.
Oh, so we're like, you're not as old as I thought. I can't find your birth date anywhere online. I'm like, he's been around forever, and you're actually pretty young. So that's not bad.
Yeah, I think it seems maybe like I'm older than I am, because I started racing pro stuff when I was 16. So my dad was always like very like, let's go to the next class, let's go to the next class, you know. So I qualified for my first outdoor national when I was 16. And then obviously, you know, pro racing and racing in general just takes a toll on you. So I was, you know, pretty much done by the time I was 26, 27.
Which nowadays you look at it in the 450 class and it's like, that's when people are just getting started.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's way different. I mean, dude, I even have kids that I worked with, like Zaremba, he's from Ohio, and he's only, he's 20, I think, or about to turn 20, and this is his first year of Supercross. So, like, I even look at that, and I'm like, well, that's 4 years later than I did it, but I feel like that's more the normal now than what it was when I was younger.
Yeah, exactly. So, you haven't ridden, the last outdoor result you have is from 2019, Supercross 2016. Have you wanted to do this for a while, or what went into this decision?
So I have, I've had buddies try and talk me into doing it every year. The last mechanic I had, he tries to talk me into doing it every year. So I always just tell him, no, man. I'm like, nope, I don't want to do it. I don't have any interest. Like, I'll sit in the stands, drink a beer, watch with everybody else. It's kind of always been my thing. Well, my daughter this year looks at me and goes, Dad, you're a sissy, do it. And I don't know why, but that's all it took. Her telling me I was a sissy and me being like, there's no way I'm going to let her, I guess, one, like, talk crap to me, right? But two, like, she's into sports and stuff. So, and I'm always telling her, hey, you got to be confident and you got to do this and you got to do that. And, you know, you get up there, she pitches softball, and I tell her, like, you have to tell yourself you're the best. Even when you get nervous, you got to tell yourself you're the best. So to me, it was like I had to do it just to show my daughter that you can do pretty much anything you want if you put your mind to it. So that was really the deciding factor for me, was my kid.
That is the coolest. I think that's probably the coolest part of this story. I mean, we'll get into qualifying here in a minute, but that, just seeing your Instagram post, is like, you just wanted to show your daughter you could still do it, when she probably doesn't even remember when you did race pro. I'm not sure how old she is, but she probably never had that experience before.
No, definitely not. She went to a Supercross with me, and she was probably two or three, and I have a picture of me and her on track walk. I can't even remember what round it was. So I have that, but you know how that is when you're two or three years old, you're never going to remember that. So
yeah,
I know she didn't, and you know, she would talk about races on TV and whatever else. So yeah, I felt like she needed that experience.
That's cool that you guys could have that with each other and just make a memory, whether you do it again or not. So that's cool. You'll never forget that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to, you qualified 3 seconds off of Max Anstey's time, and he held the points lead last week, you know? So I don't know how you do that. I'm kind of confused. How does that work? Only 3 seconds off Max Anstey.
Well, you know, my buddy Justin Barsha, he used to always tell me, he's like, dude, you don't forget how to ride, you know, like you'll never forget. And I mean, going back to, dude, racing local stuff, we still have a good group of guys around here. And it's like, you know, I race with guys like Jeff Gibson, Michael Willard, like Willie Browning there for a while. Like, these are all vet guys, but they're super fast. So I can't say that I've ever been able to, like, slow down, you know, because I always want to win, dude. I've got that, like, winning desire of, I don't want anybody to beat me, even if it's some young kid or even if it's one of my buddies. Like, we'll joke about it and laugh after the race, but I don't want to lose. So it just keeps that fire going, kind of. So that push has always been there. And I haven't really forgot how to push the edge. That being said, dude, honestly, the first qualifier, or I should say the first free practice, dude, I was like freaking out because I was over jumping everything. My timing was completely off. And even after the second practice, the time practice, I came off and I told Kevin, my buddy who talked me into doing this, I'm like, dude, I should have never let you talk me into doing this. I'm like, this is a horrible idea. I'm way out of my league. You know what I mean? I still felt really off. And he was like, man, you just got to have fun. And then Willie Browning actually gave me a pep talk going down for the last practice. He's like, dude, just throw down a couple laps, get comfortable, you'll be good. And sure enough, man, like the third practice I went out, got a couple laps in, and it just like clicked. I'm not saying I was great, but I was like way, way better. And I felt like throwing down one fast time, considering like we were a little bit off on like bike power just because we threw the bike together so quick. But doing that one fast time was a lot easier than trying to put multiple laps together in the race. So yeah, I think doing that one fast lap wasn't really too bad. Like I said, I didn't forget how to go fast.
Yeah, you clearly didn't. And so you had Willie B in your little entourage there, or did he just give you a call?
No, he was there, man. There was I think everybody from Ohio was there this weekend. I had people in the stands yelling every time I came off the track, which, dude, is rad. Like, I don't know that I ever had that many people cheering for me at a Supercross back when I raced Supercross. But, no, he was there. Willard was there somewhere. Like, a bunch of those guys were there. And I just happened to see him. I was walking up, like, down the tunnel to the track, and like his kid was with him, and he's like I said, he just started giving me a pep talk. And it's amazing, like sometimes you just got to hear it from somebody else that you know knows what they're doing, and you're like, okay, yeah, you're right, I'll go do that. And like I said, man, it worked.
I think it's more cool to me because, you know, that's what I grew up in, District 11, and watching all of you guys, and then to have you go out there and then they're just cheering you on and helping you out and giving you pep talks. Like, dude, District 11 in Ohio, like, we're fast. I mean, I'm not, but, like, you guys always were. And it kind of went away for a little bit, and then Plessinger brought his track in and kind of saved it. It's just cool to see you guys, you know, all out there still racing and going really fast.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. Like, dude, I have people all the time. Obviously, I run a suspension business, so I have people all the time. They'll come in, and they'll be like, man, these young kids, like, they're not any good. You and Willard and Gibson and these guys still win all the time. You guys shouldn't be winning. And I like kind of look at it a couple different ways, but one of the ways I look at it is I'm like, man, you guys are really discrediting like us, I feel like, because I honestly still believe we're really fast. I mean, we still go to the races, we still at least local race, and you know, the Gibsons and Brownings and Whitcrafts and Willards, like those are all guys that I looked up to growing up. And I'm telling you, like, this started out as it was supposed to be me and Michael Willard both doing this race. Right. And then I think it just didn't work out. He didn't get to do it, but if we could talk him or like Jeff Gibson into doing it and putting a few days in, dude, they would be same position as me. Like those guys ripped too. So, yeah, I think another one of the big things, I mean, beyond proving to my daughter that I could do it, another big thing was like, man, I want to prove to everybody like how good our era was, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. in Ohio racing and everything else.
Yeah, it really was. It was a lot of fun to watch. Just, you never missed, you know, if A class was going up to the gate, you had to go and you had to see it. Because you guys were going to go for the entire moto. So,
yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. And you know, I think it maybe Ohio racing started to fall off. Oh, I don't want to say fall off, but like towards, you know, me turning pro, it was maybe falling off a little bit. But I still had those guys to look up to and to like chase after, because most of those guys, dude, would come ride with me. And I was younger than they were. Like, dude, I want to say I'm like 6 or 7 years younger than Jeff. And then Michael's like 3 years older than me. And my buddy Chris Whitcraft used to come take me riding with him. So I was always chasing those guys, you know what I mean? And I always had that, like, I want to be like that guy when I get older. So that's really what gave me that drive to be where I ended up, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's really cool. And then on top of that, you have, you qualify in, and then you have the entire cheering section of Ohio there. What were those feelings like when you knew you made it in and you knew you were going to the night show? And didn't have to go to the LCQ either. So,
yeah. So I was freaking out watching, like the last practice, like the A qualifying, cause I knew I was kind of going to be on the bubble and like, I didn't know how many of those guys were going to go faster or whatever. So I was kind of freaking out, whatever. Found out that I got in, and then one of my goals going into the main events was just to let soak it up. You know what I mean? Because going in, coming out of the tunnel and going to the gate and having, I don't know if there's 60,000 fans or what exactly it was, but having all those people cheering is like the number one thing that I missed from racing a Supercross. Like, there is no other feeling like that, in my opinion. So I really wanted to soak that up because I don't feel like I did that 10 years ago. I would just kind of, it was always, I was worried about the race and whatever else, and you kind of look past that. So I wanted to do that. And then, like I said, man, I legit could hear people like screaming Kilbarger. And I saw tons of people with like Kilbarger shirts and like all this stuff. And like I said, I don't even remember that from 10 plus years ago. So the Ohio community was rad, like, to say the least there.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then when you see your daughter for the first time, what did she, did you say, I'm not a sissy? Or what did you say when that you first saw her after that?
Yeah, definitely. I told her, I was like, see, dad's not a sissy. And I still don't think she really understands like the height of what was going on. But I will say, we were leaving like after the main events and everything, and dude, I was smoked. Like, going into that third main event, I was thinking, how am I going to survive this thing? But when we were leaving, she goes, Dad, I think you need to do more of these. And I'm like, no, Dad's going back into retirement. So.
Yeah, I mean, you got it's your first Triple Crown as well. It's a new format. You're not used to that. So you had to learn as you went.
Yeah, it was totally different, man. I was asking, like, my buddy's down before we go to the line. I'm like, do we get a hot lap, or, you know, how does this work? And they were like almost as in the dark as me, but yeah, it was totally different, you know. And back, I mean, you go back 10 years ago, we were doing 15 lap main events versus the 10 minute main event, that we did this weekend, and we had to do three of them. So, man, it was a lot. Like, it was a lot of riding, because I feel like we were doing 13 lap, which my buddy Kevin is giving me crap, being like, well, you did 12, dude, because you got lapped. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man, I appreciate that. But yeah, it was a lot of racing, totally different than anything I had ever done before. But I like that format, and especially for me not doing it in so long, I really felt that I got better every time I went out on the track. Granted, by the last time I was smoked tired, but I still felt more comfortable than I had the rest of the day.
Yep. Still ran the pace, still went, did all the laps. Like, it's, you know, I don't want to say, like you said, it was, you work a real job, you know? So it's, you're not out there training every day. You're just, you know, normal day stuff. And I don't want to call it off the couch, cause you probably do a little training since you're into this life, but I don't know, man. I feel like it's pretty much off the couch to main event. So it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, how can you just take that much time off, not have much prep, and then just jump right in with the boys?
Yeah. I caught a lot of, like, there was a lot of people leading up to the race that were, like, texting me going, dude, what are you doing? It's a Triple Crown. Like, not only are you probably not going to make it, but you picked a Triple Crown, which is way harder to make it. So like, you're crazy, like, whatever. And dude, I would just honestly tell people, I'm like, man, I'm a like positive, like, I look at things in a positive way. And I'm like, no matter what, they take 22 riders to the main event. So in my opinion, my shot is the same either way. And just being able to use the experience of when I did race those things, like, I knew that the fast time was probably going to come out of the third session, you know what I mean? So I knew not to, like, waste myself in the first two practices, like, kind of save myself. So I used experience to make it happen, so that helped. And then, like I said, the speed isn't totally gone, but yeah, I think there was a lot of people that didn't think that I could do it, and that actually makes it even better. You know, it makes it more fun to, I guess, prove some people wrong, and then, you know, all the people that were right, I'm glad they got to be right.
In your mind, did you know you could do it?
Yeah, I did, honestly.
Yeah.
I told several people, like, going to the race, they were like, oh, man, like, what's your expectation? And I'm like, honestly, dude, I'm going to make the main event. Like, I'm going to make it. And I really think that, you know, a lot of things in life in general is mindset. And just having that mindset of, like, I'm going to do it, yeah, just, it brings out something in you that, you know, even if it hasn't been there in a long time, you find it.
That's a good point. Did your buddy Barsha stop by and say good job?
Yeah, we talked a little bit on Friday. I went over and hung out with him. And then on Saturday, he texted me like it was not too long before the main events. He must have saw that I got in straight out of practice. And he was just like, man, you're an animal. I can't believe you did it. And yeah, that was cool, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm always texting him, and I text him after the race. And I'm like, man, you guys are nuts, like, to go do that every weekend and, you know, pretty much put your life on the line, because that track was absolutely brutal. Like, sitting in the stands does it no justice, you know what I mean? I go every year watching the stands, and every year that you're not doing it and you're sitting in the stands, you're a little bit more like, ah, it's not that bad. Like, it's, I can do that, whatever. And then it's like, man, when you're actually on the track, it's unreal how soft it is, how rutted it is. So I'm always trying to, like, credit him and everybody else that's out there and just be like, dude, no matter what anybody tells you, anybody that's sitting in the stands, whatever, know that you guys are animals for even being out there.
That is true. And I think Indy is in, like, an outlier event too, because every year it's soft, like you said. It's what everyone says. It's rutted. But, like, the whoops literally tell a story every year, pretty much. Like, something happens in the whoops, or, you know, you watch everybody, and just to see them taking their time and picking through the ruts and making mistakes lap after lap, like, it's really, I feel like that sits alone opposed to the rest of the series, because when you see the best of the best tiptoeing through some stuff, you know it's rough.
Yeah, that's another thing that made me feel a little bit better, is, like, watching the other practices. Like, number one, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but, like, seeing some of those top guys crash and hit tough blocks and whatever, you're almost like, okay, well, at least I'm not the only one that looks like a squirrel out there. You know, it's just the track is that tough. And my girlfriend told me, like, after one of the practices, she's like, you look slow in the whoops. And I just, like, I wanted to be like, all right, well, if you were standing down there, like, and seeing what I'm seeing, you would totally understand. Because, yeah, when you got in that whoop section, it was, dude, you got in one line and you were in that line all the way until the end. And, you know, it's tough because you see a guy like Jet Lawrence out there and they make it look way easier than it is. You know, he's jumping off the wall, landing in the whoops, like, but that's not one freak of nature. You know what I mean? For the rest of us, it's like, and not discrediting us, but it's, man, it's gnarly. Like I said, to be in one rut all the way through the whoops, and then, you know, the rhythm lanes, like, dude, you got to be looking way ahead, because if you land 1 inch one way or the other, like, that bike is turning in a hurry and going straight towards the tough blocks.
And then in that same mindset, you're like, man, I got to get up for work on Monday.
Oh, 100%. I told a couple different people that. I'm like, dude, my shop is full of suspension right now. And I'm like, I gotta go to work on Monday. And I had a couple people joking with me that had stuff in here. They're like, man, like, once you kill yourself this weekend, you're never gonna get my suspension done. And I'm like, yeah, you might be right, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
That's cool, man. 2018-19 for 20th overall off the couch. It's you want to do any more of these?
You know, I've had people trying to get me to do more this year. No, I'm done. Who knows? Indy next year, maybe. I'm definitely not going to say yes or no. It's just, I don't know however I feel at the time. And yeah, just going to leave it on that. That's the best part about being in the position I'm in and having a job, is it's like you only go racing at this point because it's fun or because you want to do it. So those are the two things that I look at. If it's something that's going to be fun and I want to do it, then I'll do it. And if not, then man, I'm going to sit in the stands and drink a beer and watch with everybody else.
That sounds good too, you know, at this point of our lives. So a lot of people may not know, but in 2009, you finished sixth at Indy. So in the 250 class, what happened that night? And do you remember it well?
Yeah. I mean, that was, that was my second year of Supercross, right? So, I was training, dude, full on training, just living the life of motocross and Supercross. And I think that was like round three that year. And I got better every round, and we took off that main event, and it actually got red flagged. I was doing actually better than that. I want to say I was in third or something, third or fourth when it got red flagged. And I remember being bummed because I was like, dude, this was it. Like, you know, I was going to crush it. I was in my mind, I was like, man, maybe I would have battled for a podium. Probably not, but that was my thought, right? So when they restarted it, I got another good start. And I remember like coming around every lap and my mechanic having stuff written on the pit board and me directly trying not to look at the pit board because I didn't want to know what place I was in because I didn't want the nerves to get me. So I went all 15 laps of that main event without looking at the pit board, just knowing like, dude, you're doing good. Keep hitting your marks. And I remember like, I think it was Daniel Blair at the time was like all over me. And I was just, you know, trying to hit, like I said, hit my marks and finish. And that'll always be like that race getting six will always be like the highlight of, I guess what you could say was my career. You know, a lot of, I don't know, a lot of goals achieved that night. And, like I said, it's crazy because back then, dude, for sixth place, I think I made like $650, which was absolutely nothing. Thankfully, they pay a little more than that now. And honestly, when I got that sixth, dude, I didn't have as many people cheering for me then as what I did this weekend when I got 20th. So, yeah, this is definitely going this weekend and doing what I did is going to be another highlight of, you know, any racing I've ever done.
It's awesome, man. It was good to see you back out there and just doing it for, you know, your daughter and then for all of Ohio. It was cool. So, I mean, we hope to see it more, but if not, that's a good one, man. That's a good way to end it, if not.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yep. Well, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it. And I'll probably talk to you soon. Now I got your contact information. We'll maybe race this summer or something. That'd be fun.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. I'll look forward to hearing from you.
All right, man. Well, thanks for your time. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. See ya.
See ya.
All right, guys, Levi Kilbarger. He may or may not be done. He may do this again. We're 34. Well, he's 34. I'm going to round up. I'm almost 34. The way I feel today, I'm not going to go race Supercross. There's no way. Nope. No way I'm doing that. Levi Kilbarger's built different. He is going to do that. And I like the confidence that he said. He said he knew he could do it. He knew he could get in his mind. He knew he had it. Which that takes some guts because when you look at the 250 class, you don't think, hey, like 34-year-old off the couch is going to show up and put it in the Triple Crown, especially at a track like Indy, right? It just doesn't make sense. But that's Ohio Motocross. That's why we in the Midwest are built different. And obviously, like, there's other guys that have done this too. Like, Taryn O'Dell showed up to Thunder Valley last year and made it into the 450 class motos. I want to see more of these guys do this. The old guys, I will cover you all day. If you want to go in, sign up. I'm going to give you coverage. I'll get you on a podcast. I will write about you multiple times. Because it doesn't make any sense, especially if you don't ride all the time. Like, I get it, Kilbarger rides, but he doesn't ride Supercross. And he just did that. Okay. Anyway, thanks to Levi for coming on. Thanks to you guys for listening. I want to thank myself this week because going into Indy, a lot of people talked about me shaving my head, and I'm still getting grief about it. I'm not doing it, dude. I'm not going to shave my head. You know, and I showed up to Indy. I said, you guys, I said, Grant Harlan, sir, Benny Bloss, sir, you have your chance. You want to do it? Do it. But you're going to have to hold me down. And guess who still has hair? Me. I won. I beat Benny. I beat Harlan. Suck it. Troy Dog wins. And I do want to say, shout out to Ginger Dog this week. Me and her walked 9 miles together in Indy. 9 miles. We're still feeling it. Shout out to Ginger Dog's feet as well. If you saw her Instagram story, her shoes just destroyed her heels. She's the biggest blisters ever. And the girl didn't limp one time. It's tough stuff, bro. Shout out G-Dog. And shout out to Denny Stevenson as well. We finally got to meet up after like 3-4 years of friendship. We like watched practice together. He actually stayed at our hotel, like his own room. But like we gave him a ride back to the hotel. We talked all kinds of stuff, storylines, stuff from when he was racing. It was just a good time. And it went so quick. That was a highlight for me. So shout out to Verb contributor, Denny Stevenson. Shout out to Boots Dog. I'm kind of mad at you right now. She called me Mr. Clean. So, yeah, man, not happening. But shout out to Boots for always being there for the squad pod, even though I don't pay her or do anything remotely, even anything for her life to benefit it. I'm just here, man. Shout out to Bub Dog, Duke Dog, Bird Dog, Chase Dog, Chili Dog, Wes, and you guys for listening. I have a really good pod next week. I know I said I have a champion, 450 champion, a 250 champion, and we're going to talk about his amateur career. That's still coming. It's just next week. I had to get Kilbarger on first, but next week's going to be a really good show too. So we'll see you then.